Okay, go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just interested. The first time I ever heard Bob Dobbs was this morning, actually, just a little while ago. And I'm just fascinated with all this stuff. How does one get to know more?
Well, there's various ways. The best way to start off is to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you 4.5 pages of information. And then what you can do is respond to that and let me know your reactions, and as you learn more and respond more, I can give you more information. This will start out printed matter-wise.
Okay, let me explain to you. Although I'm very interested, I'm more interested in letting my son know about this. He's 18.
Right.
So this would be exactly where I think this stuff would be going to those kids. So.
Oh, that's very kind of you, because that's important. So why don't you grab a pencil and write down the address.
Okay.
24 27 and a half. The street is called Glendon, Glyndon.
Okay.
That's Avenue.
Okay.
Venice.
Venice.
90291.
Okay.
Right. And just send it to my attention, Jerry.
Okay.
Fialka, F-I-A-L-K-A.
F-I-A-L-K-A. Terrific. Thanks, Jerry, very much.
Okay, bye.
Good. Well, I want to know if I can get more information as to what he's talking about.
Yeah, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you 4.5 pages, and then we can go from there. If you respond to those 4.5 pages, you are privileged to get more information.
Okay, sure.
You got a pencil?
Yep.
Jerry Fialka, G-E-R-R-Y. F-I-A-L-K-A.
F-I-A-L-K-A.
24 27 and a half. Glendon, G-L-Y-N-D-O-N. Venice, California. 90291.
90291.
Yeah, what in particular did you like about the show?
Everything he was talking about regarding conditioning and the medium of the transfer of information and the process by which that takes place. I need more understanding on that level.
Why do you need more understanding?
Because I feel like I don't know really what the process by which information, the medium, takes place. I don't know enough about that, and I feel I don't know. What I heard from him was real enlightening for me. And the other guy who called in too, David.
David Worcester.
Yeah. How to get a hold of him? I assume he's in town in L.A.?
Hopefully we'll have him on David's show.
Really? Well, that's great. What else are you guys involved in? Do you guys do seminars or workshops?
Always.
Do you have a mailing list that...
You're going to send me a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Okay, that'll be the mailing
list. I'm going to send you 4.5 pages, and then you respond. From there, you can get audio tapes.
Okay.
And you can get printed matter like Bob's book.
Okay. Is Bob's book available in stores or not?
Not in stores. You have to buy it through the mail to Toronto. Toronto, at Time Again Productions.
Oh, okay. So, does he live up in Canada? Because I'm originally from Canada myself.
Oh, what city are you from?
I lived in Toronto. I'm originally from Niagara Falls.
He had a radio show for 4 years in Toronto on CKLM.
Huh. What year would that have been? I was there in 83 and 84.
87 to 91.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But we appreciate you calling, and send that in and stay in touch.
Okay, thank you. What was your name?
Jerry.
Jerry. Okay, thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
Hello?
Yes, I just listened to the Dave Porter show, you know.
Yes.
And I got the tail end of it. Where's this guy Bob Dobbs from?
Well, he had a radio show in Toronto for 4 years. If you're interested in more information, you can
you
can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you 4.5 pages on it.
Beautiful. Can I have your address next?
Yeah, it's 24.
I have a dyslexia problem. It's 24.
27.
27.
And a half.
And a half.
The street is spelled Glendon. G-L.
G-L.
Y-N.
Y-N.
D-O-N.
O-N.
No, D as in dog, O-N.
G-L-Y-D.
No, G-L-G. Now I got Lixdixia, too. G-L.
Wait, is that E like an N?
No, I'll start from the beginning of the street name.
Okay.
G.
G like in George.
L.
L.
Y.
Y.
D.
D like in dog.
O-N.
O-N. The guy, Glyden, right?
Yeah. Now, before the D, there is an N. I left one out.
D-N?
Before the D.
Is it N and then O-N, right?
Yeah, it's actually G-L-Y-N.
G-L-Y-N.
D-O-N.
E-O-N?
D-O-N.
E-O-N.
D as in dog, O-N.
E-O-N. Okay.
it's G-L...
Y-N-D-O-N.
Yeah, now it's Venice.
It's Venice?
902.
It's Venice 902.
91.
91.
Now, what did you find that attracted you to this show?
Well, I would listen to Dave Porter, but, Saturday morning, sometimes you sleep in.
Yes.
And I tune in, I mean, gee, this guy sounds interesting. To me, you know what this sounds like?
What?
I use the term psycholinguistic programming.
Yes, where'd you get that term?
I coined the term myself.
Oh, I see.
I'm a psychologist. I was a school psychologist.
I see.
And to me, it's really, we've been programmed all of our lives, you know, in the media. Are you a Chomsky fan?
I know who he is.
No, Chomsky, even, you know, he's a linguist. I was in linguistics, and he says that, you know, we've been programmed ever since we entered kindergarten through the graduate level. We are told what to eat, how we think. So it goes on with that. I coined that term. You ever hear of Pamela Burton?
Sure, I hear Pam a lot.
Yeah, I one day she was having an interview, and they were talking about this sort of thing. I said, you know, Pamela, I would coin this as psycholinguistically programmed. Hey, I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, what is your name?
Jerry.
Are you a friend of, what's that guy's name in Venice?
Bill Mitchell.
Bill Mitchell?
Yeah.
You know, my name is Frank Dooley.
I know you, Frank.
Yeah. It's Jerry, right?
Yeah, we've met many times.
All right. Say, listen, your voice was...
Yeah, you sound familiar.
Yeah, right. So anyway, you'll send me something to that.
I'll send you some stuff about Bob, how you can get his book and tapes and whatnot.
He's got some books, too, huh?
Yeah, he's got one book.
What's Bill doing these days?
Bill's going to be on in a couple weeks on David's show, and he's on TV the same day, and he's still going at it.
See, now, this guy, who's this guy Worcester?
Dave Worcester is,
He's an L.A. boy, is he?
He lives in L.A., yeah. He's very interesting. He's sort of invented channeling, was one of the first people ever to channel.
I see.
And his original organization was called Cosmic Awareness.
I've heard the term,
yeah.
Now, going back to this guy, Dobbs, he's actually from Toronto now, or no?
Well, yeah, you could say he's from Toronto. He's from Canada, originally.
Do you know anything about his background?
Well, what do you want to know? You know, one thing is if you get his tape, Bob's Media Ecology, he talks of, and his book, it talks about some of his background.
Oh, Jerry, how can I get the tape, his book?
I'll send you, when you send me the self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you some the address of Time Again Productions in Toronto.
Okay.
And they have all his stuff. Actually, you can go to Tower Records and get it, too. It's called Producers for Bob.
Producers for Bob?
And the name of, that's the artist's name.
Well, anyway, this will be something I can.
You can send away for it, but you could also just call Tower, and they have it on cassette or CD, mainly on CD. Do you have a CD player?
You know, it's called Producer for what?
Producers for Bob.
Bob.
And yeah, for Bob. And then the name of the album is Bob's Media Ecology. Yeah, good to hear from you, Frank.
Hey, listen, nice talking to you.
And tune in to Bill in a couple weeks,
too. I certainly will.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Hey,
hello?
Hi, I'm calling in reference to Mr. Bob Dobbs.
All right, what'd you think of the show?
Well, the sad thing is that I woke up so late I didn't get to hear it but the last 20 minutes or so. I was very impressed with what I heard.
Good. What impressed you, though? Specifically,
what was it that impressed me? My impression was that Bob was very learned, and that he had made a scholarly study of. I don't know, noology.
That's a good word. Did you just make that up?
It's a word that I had thought about for a long time.
Have you used it before?
Yeah, I've used it before.
So you coined it.
And the noosphere, which would be the realm of human consciousness and understanding.
That's very good. You've coined this term, basically.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I think Bob is very learned in the noosphere, the nososphere. he knows a lot, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's it comes, actually, it's a Greek-derived word, and I'm spelling it N-O, not K-N-O-W.
Oh, well, how's it?
It's not a pun.
Okay.
It comes from a Greek root, and I'm not enough of a linguist to give you any details about it.
Okay, so why don't we spell the word to me, the first word you used, no.
N-O-O-L-O-G-Y, noology.
N-O. Say it again, please.
N-O.
Yeah.
O-L-O-G-Y. And the realm then is the noosphere, N-O-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. And I found that I was playing around in a dictionary, and I found some references that led me to the formulation of those words.
Wow. Is the first one N-O-O?
Yeah.
L-O-G-Y.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. No W.
No, no W.
But it sounds
okay.
Too...
No K.
Pardon me?
No K,
no W, but it sounds like knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I know. So there's a pun in there somewhere, but I think that it may just be, I don't know.
Well, here's an interesting thing that McLuhan wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read Marshall McLuhan?
You know, I almost feel blasphemous to say no.
Oh, that's all right.
No, I haven't.
No, that's okay. You should check him out. I mean, it's really easy to find a couple of his books because people don't understand them and they sell them cheap at garage sales and use bookstores for real cheap. And Medium is the Massage,
yeah.
And War and Peace in the Global Village. But he said an interesting thing about the pun. He said the pun is a way of seeing the paradoxical exuberance of being through language.
I totally resonate with that.
Yeah.
I think that puns are really important ways of seeing things in novel perspectives.
Yeah.
I love puns.
Yeah.
The, My call is to find out about what Bob has recorded and how to get hold of it.
Yes, that is easy. You can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Huh? And what's your name?
Jerry, G-E-R-R-Y.
Uh-huh.
F-I-A-L-K-A. Mm-hmm. 2-4. Mm-hmm. 2-7. Mm-hmm. And a half. Mm-hmm. Glendon, G-L-Y-N-D-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
Venice.
90291.
So if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you 4.5 pages of information about Bob, and then there will be an address for Time Again Productions. They sell his book and his 2 CDs. You can go to Tower and get his CDs now if you want. The artist they list them under is Producers for Bob.
Producers for Bob.
And the name of the CD is Bob's Media Ecology.
Okay. Wow, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's good.
I just sort of heard, you know, vague references to Bob over a period of years, and never really had a chance to focus in and really ruminate and digest his material.
Right.
I've always been interested.
Well, did you stumble on David's show, or did you know that it was going to be on?
No, I knew that it was going to be on, and I had hoped to be up and awake in time to listen to it from the beginning, but I was stricken with insomnia last night, and I had to make up for that lost time.
Right, and because you heard the promo on KPFK?
Yeah, because I heard the promo.
Yeah. Why couldn't you sleep last night?
I'm in a crisis in my life, and I was reflecting on that.
Yeah. I don't mean to be too personal.
In my personal and professional life, and
yeah.
I really needed to sort some things out, and it was keeping me awake.
I know about that. Don't we all?
Yeah. It happens in a cyclical way, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen.
I appreciate you calling.
I really appreciate the information that you provided, and send Bob my best. My name is David Superior.
Oh, David, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Isn't that the name, one of the letters I wrote the last night?
Hello?
Hi, is Bob Dobbs still available, or could you answer a question?
Well, what is the question?
The question is there any list or anything so I can get a handle on what you were talking about? Because I love it. And I just...
Why do you love it?
Because it is so behind the scenes real.
What's behind the scenes mean?
Well, the surface of everything around us. Behind it, the reality of what's really going on. And I just want to get more in touch with it if I can. You know, your book, I can't even find Phatic in my Random House dictionary.
P-H-A-T-I-C.
P-H-A-T-I-C.
Phatic.
Phatic.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just...
In the Oxford Dictionary it is. But you can get the book. If you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you 4.5 pages of information, including an address where you can get Bob's tapes and book.
Great.
Okay, you got a pencil?
Yes.
My name is Jerry Fielka, G-E-R-R-Y.
Yes. And how do you spell the other one?
F-I-A-L.
F-I-A-L.
K-A.
F-I-A-L.
K-A.
K-A.
2-4.
Two,
seven.
2-4-2-7.
And a half.
And a half.
Glendon, G L Y N D O N.
Y N D David O N?
That's correct.
Yes.
Venice. 90291.
Dennis 90291.
Yes, you can actually get Bob's CD. It's called Bob's Media Ecology at Tower Records, or probably Rhino. What part of town are you calling from?
Eagle Rock.
Yeah, you can call around, or you can get it through the mail from Time Again. I'll send you the address. The name of the artist for Bob's Media Ecology is Producers for Bob. Producers for Bob. And the name of it is Bob's Media Ecology.
For
Bob.
Bob.
Now, how did you find out about the show? Did you just stumble on it, or did you hear the promo or see a flyer or anything?
Nothing on. I've heard it from time to time, and it's usually been good. I just happened to turn it on halfway through.
Uh-huh.
And it was just on a subject that I can really be interested in. I just couldn't really catch on to most of what was happening, but I found it very intriguing.
Yeah, well, we're glad you tuned in, and if you react to the printed matter I send you, I'll just keep sending you more.
Hey, well, what is your name?
Jerry Fielka.
Oh, yeah. My mind is not present.
Oh, that's all right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Hello?
Is this the number for Bob Dobbs?
Yes. Dobbs.
D-O-B-S? D-O-B-B-S?
That's correct.
Okay.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Santa Barbara, Carpinteria.
How'd you hear about the show?
Oh, I just tune in every once in a while on Saturday mornings.
Oh, that's good. What'd you think?
Well, it's very... Hold on just a second, please. I gotta call you back, okay?
Okay, call's back. Hello?
Who am I speaking to, please?
This is Jerry. Who's calling?
My name is Dory.
Hi, Dory.
Dory Sanuval. I heard the program on KVFK this morning.
What did you think?
Well, it was very interesting, a bit mind-blowing, and fascinating.
Oh, good. And what? How did you find out about it? Did you hear a promo on KPFK, or did you see a flyer?
Oh, no, I am just visiting here in Venice.
And you just happened to tune in?
And where I live at the moment, I can't get KPFK, and I used to listen to it a lot, so I turn it on.
Oh, I see.
And I'm here, if I have a chance, which I did this morning.
Good.
Just so. In fact, I had it on during the night, but I guess I didn't hear most of it.
What did you find intriguing?
Well, I am... I'm sort of convinced, basically, that we're saturated with bombarded with information and information society. And it just made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to find out a little more about it. I sort of instinctively agree with most of it. So
okay.
I want to know, do you have a publication?
Yeah, we can send you some more information if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope. Do you have a pencil?
Yeah, and let me ask you also, do you have groups that, or do you have any meeting or any contact points in Venice?
Well, actually, you can come by the bench. We talk every Saturday and Sunday from 3 to 6 at the second bench on Oceanfront Walk, south of Dudley.
South of Dudley. I want to tell you that I've lived in Venice since 1959.
Uh-huh.
And I was not totally part of it, but I was very close to the gas house.
Uh-huh.
That movement. And I've seen Venice change from what it was then, before the marina was there and all the other crazies came there.
Yeah.
And my husband and I came from Holland.
Yes.
And so I'm, in a sense, very close to Venice. I've lived here up until 4 years ago. and I knew the coffee house, at Dudley. So Venice feels very good, and it's sort of cute that you guys meet there. Second bench.
The second bench south of Dudley, like across from the Titanic almost.
Yeah, see, I haven't been there for a long time. At the moment I'm south of Venice Boulevard. But I know where it is, in other words. I don't think I can be there, but where would I send the envelope? And what was the book they were talking about what's his name, Bob Dobbs?
Bob Dobbs' book is called Phatic Communion with Bob Dobbs.
And I heard him explain the definition of phatic, but how does he spell it?
P-H-A-T-I-C. And my address is 2427 and a half.
Uh-huh.
Glendon, G-L-Y-N-D-O-N.
G-L-Y-N-D-O-N. Oh, Glendon, okay.
Venice, 90291. And if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you 4.5 pages of information.
Okay. And how do you spell Dobbs, his name, his last name?
D-O-B-B-S.
D-O-B-B-S.
Bob? Bob Dobbs.
But the Dobbs, how do you spell the Dobbs?
The first name is B-O-B.
Yes.
The second name is D as in dog.
Yeah.
O-B-B-S.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you can get his CD at Tower Records in the marina. The name of the artist is Producers for Bob.
Okay.
And it's called Bob's Media Ecology.
I may pick one up.
And have you studied a certain profession in your life or pursued any?
No, just life.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
I grew up in Holland. I lived in England and France. I've spent the last 34 years in the United States, most of them in Venice.
Great.
We had the first art gallery in 1961 in Market Street.
Oh, yeah.
Called Gallery Nico.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that, but we were way ahead of our time. Nobody thought anything of Market Street and of Venice at the time. I don't know if you're familiar with the history of the gas house.
I've just heard about it. I don't know much else.
It was right there between, I think, what is it, Market and Horizon, or the other way, south of Market. And the building was built to such an extent it had, I think, 2 foot thick walls, and the city managed to condemn it on the basis of structural unsoundness and all that. And it was quite a time with the beatniks and the movement there. And so we went through all that, and then we hung on in Venice. And my husband is an artist. I'm a bit of an artist. And I'm a bit of a real estate artist. That's how we lived. And we, I guess, wrote part of the Venice increase. Unknowingly, ignorantly, but luckily.
Uh-huh.
And I moved to the San Luis Obispo area 4 years ago.
Oh, I see.
Morro Bay, you know where that is?
That's up north, or?
North, yeah.
Yeah.
Central coast. Morro Bay, Cambria, in that area. And I now live on a very isolated ranch. So it's quite a change from Venice. So that's a little bit my story. I've been interested in lots of different things, but I have never studied for a profession. So.
Well, I'm glad you tuned in.
Yeah, so am I. It was really interesting. So I will send you a self-addressed envelope.
Okay.
And hopefully get some, and then probably get the book. Where is that available?
The book you can get through Toronto address that I'll send to you.
Oh, okay. It's not in a bookstore?
It's not in the bookstores yet. We're hoping to get it into Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Okay, and your name, I forgot, of course?
Is Jerry Fielka, G-E-R-R-Y.
Fielka, Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hi, this is that guy from Carpinteria again.
Oh, great. I'm glad you called back.
Yeah, I had my boy called from Minnesota, and I...
Oh, no problem. Well, Bob actually picked lemons up there in Carpinteria.
Really?
Do they,
Lemons.
Excuse me, do they still do that up there in that area?
They have a lot of lemons up here. Yes, indeed they do. You're not Bob, I guess.
No, but he was also wondering how far is Carpinteria from Santa Barbara?
Well, Carpinteria is...
Oh, Carpinteria.
That's the Spanish. And the Spanish is penultimate syllable. And it is... we call it Lower Montecito. It's just 15 miles from downtown Santa Barbara. Just two suburbs past Santa Barbara.
I see. And how far is it from the beach?
Oh, it's on the beach.
Oh, it's right on the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Well, listen.
How did you know to tune into the show this morning?
Well, did I talk to Bob or you before?
Me.
Okay, well, I think I told you that I sort of sample KPFK off and on all the time.
Oh, so you just stumbled on it. You didn't hear the promo for the show.
No, I didn't hear the promo. I like the Genesis of a Music guy.
Oh, good.
And so I try to, check in with him every once in a while.
Oh, that's good.
And so I happened to get Bob or you or whoever. Here's my question, if you have a pencil.
I do.
I am developing, and have been for many years, a new curriculum for public high schools. And it is mostly computer mediated. Doesn't use software, that sort of thing. Rather, it uses computers, a dialogue medium. And the teaching is done on, I don't know if you know computer language, but it's done on the LAN and WAN system.
Say that word again.
LAN, L-A, it's a local area net and a wide area net. I don't want to get involved in the...
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know it. Anyway, it's not what you think, running computers to run little flashcards, but rather it is teachers talking with students in a dialogue method. Now, we're developing a different kind of a humanities interpretation of English. And my question is, and it derives from the Joyce discussions that were held this morning. I would like to have his suggestion of about five relatively classic standard books that are written simply enough for high school kids. High school kids can understand more than people think, but they can't understand a lot at a time. And so that the books would have to be fairly simple and at the same time capable of having about three-page extracts taken out of them time by time for discussion. And these five books would have the function of leading toward Joyce. The trouble of it is that even college students today grow up, mature, and die without ever getting into 20th century literature in the sense of James Joyce. And so I'd like to give them already in high school a little bit of a foundation for moving toward some of the better literature of our time.
Right, so these are books that you would require high school kids to read.
Well, here's what I would do with them. These are books that, again, one of our programs for one of the advanced classes is to give them Plato's Apology on second semester, and then just before Easter break, give them the Gospel of John's discussion of the trial and conviction of Jesus. And all through that whole transition, in the dialogue mode, discuss all of the implications of these martyrdoms and then move toward, depending on the class, move toward Gandhi and Martin Luther King.
Uh-huh.
And, but that just depends on how it goes. But that's the level that we can move to if we go gradually enough. The Apology is one of the simplest of Plato's dialogues, and as Gospel of John, most everybody knows anyway, and so we can work with it. So what I'm after is fairly simple classics that provide a kind of maybe what might be called a quasi-myth orientation that would help students perhaps get into the early Joyce,
Well, I would tell you one thing to start off is the two books by McLuhan that you can get that are still in print, and you can get them real cheap at garage sales and used bookstores, is The Medium is the Massage.
I know that.
And the other one is War and Peace in the Global Village.
Yeah, I have both of those. I've corresponded with McLuhan in the past. I was thinking more of classics,
Wait, say that again. You've corresponded with McLuhan?
Yeah, not regularly, but I have in the past.
You wrote to him?
We've exchanged letters.
Oh. What's your name?
Well, my name is Harvey Wheeler.
I see. And,
that's what I have in mind. And I could tell you how to write to me if you wanted to.
Well, I was going to suggest if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I will send you 4.5 pages of information, which will include the McLuhan Center address. And through them, you could get the... No, this is the one in Toronto.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's directly related to the family, the McLuhan family. And through them, you could get the list that Bob would recommend these five books.
Okay. That'll be fine. I'll call you back if I can. I got to go right now.
If you want my address?
Okay.
Okay.
So long. Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Is this information regards to Bob Dobbs?
Yeah, it is. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the South Bay Area.
All right. And how did you end up tuning into the show? Did you hear the promo on KPFK, or did you get a flyer, or what?
No, I got my radio set to turn on at 6:30 in the morning.
So
it wakes me up with KPFK.
With KPFK. Oh, great. And so what did you think of the show?
Well, being a sovereign California citizen and what I've picked up on the last few years of becoming involved with that organization, it was quite interesting to hear the information. And
being a Southern California citizen?
I'm a sovereign California citizen.
Sovereign?
Right, I'm no longer a U.S. citizen.
Oh, I see.
And I'm part of a growing movement of thousands of people that have done this. We have no license or registration of any kind, so no driver's license, no plates on our cars.
So how does that way of thinking, reflect your interest in this show?
Well, because once you open up the doors of truth and knowledge, all of a sudden other doors open up and you hear information that intrigues and you dig further and you open up other doors. And so what Bob was talking about was within that land of, information that you try to reach out and find.
What particularly?
Well, anything in regards to... just about everything, as a matter of fact. Just about everything that he said regarding the Council of Ten, regarding media and media control. Some of it was of higher consciousness that undoubtedly a number of the callers that called in were very aware of and therefore were educated in those areas. And so that would take a little longer to sink in just because of the some of the terminology that they were using.
But you seem to be familiar with this. Had you heard this term before, Secret Council of Ten?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm very aware of Illuminati, etc.
How did you acquire that awareness?
Just through digging, reading, and what I find amazing lately is that more people you bump into are becoming aware. It's no longer just an underground concept. There are numbers of people that are becoming much more aware of what's going on within the deception.
What particular reading led you there?
I wouldn't say that it's one particular. It's aspects from everywhere. There's a new... in fact, just the other night I went to a networking thing, which was a business networking party, just to give you an idea of how this information is starting to spread. And there was a magazine sitting there, or a newspaper sitting there, called Perceptions, which I'd never seen before. And the only reason I immediately picked up on it was because the main title said, Hawaii lowers U.S. flag as a political unrest mounts. And I was very aware of what was going on in Hawaii. And as I opened this magazine up, some of the information in here is, and this is a local, everything from Federal Reserve, U.S. bankruptcy, hemp production, and what's going on with that, Social Security fraud. This is just like I'm looking at page after page. Here's information on Project AIDS and the scam that's going on with ADT. So there's everywhere I turn lately, there's information coming out. And finally what they're doing is the concept that if we cannot trust truth from the media, we have to become broadcasters of truth ourselves, and therefore people are becoming and starting to broadcast as much truth as they can get their hands on.
So you feel what you heard this morning was the truth?
What I heard this morning was intriguing that I would like to know more about, and that's why I called.
Oh, I see. But do you think it rang true, or?
I would say that when he started saying that he was involved with assassinations of witnesses regarding Kennedy, that would be interesting to know more about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm fully aware that the witnesses were killed off one by one through strange accidents.
Yeah.
But not knowing that much about the Council of Ten, you know, there was not much content. It was much more input that I was intrigued by. That's why.
Right. And have you heard Bob on Porter's show before?
No, that was the first time.
That was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But have you read Robert Anton Wilson?
No, I have not. No. Oh. And also Tom Duché calling in. Interesting that he said that he did not want to put his voice into AM. Amplitude modulation to bring it to the point that it could be identified.
Uh-huh. That was great. You're very aware. I will give you my name and address, and if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you 4.5 pages of information, and then as you respond, you can get more information. You can also seek out Bob's books and tapes.
Okay, and your connection is?
Friend...
Okay. And undoubtedly you're trying to keep some of the secrecy and the lack of contact.
Well, it's sort of that I'm not trying to do anything but give people an opportunity to hear about Bob and learn more. That's my main agenda. That's why I've tried to get him on David's show since 88, and we've done it. David's always cooperated and loved having him.
Anything with Roy at night?
Roy, we've been trying to get Bob on Roy for many years, and he finally played him on the 14th.
And you're not aware of the Citizens Movement?
What's the name of it?
California Citizens, or Sovereign Citizens, or Citizenship.
Do you meet at Mandala?
There's a meeting every Monday night at Mandala.
Well, I'm aware of it, but I'm not that aware. You know, I know some people who are involved in that group, but I'm not, myself involved. I mean, I've got all that license plate and all that, or a driver's license and a social security number, and I mean...
You're a 14th Amendment U.S. citizen.
Yeah, and it would intrigue me to pursue it further, but at this point I haven't.
And we have weekly meetings also. There's a meeting that happens the first Saturday of every month in the Valley where there's about 300 people that show up.
Oh, that's great. I mean...
So there's and you can sit down at a table and have specific information that you can get out to a lot of people very quickly.
Oh, well, that would be great. I mean, if you send, can you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope?
Sure.
And if you want to show it to some of the people and pass it on, that's great. You know, because this is all just, you know, self-financed, and we don't really have a budget. But, you know, Bob's book has been published. It's not available in bookstores. We're going to try to get it in the Phoenix, or maybe even Mandala would carry it. And then, you know, in the meantime, you can order it by mailing away, or you can get his tape, his CDs at Tower Records. It's got two CDs up.
Oh, musically?
They're a mixture of the music and his clips from his radio show.
Okay, because I've been in the music industry for all my life.
Great.
So I know that industry real well.
Yeah, well, I think you'd probably appreciate this. It's
okay, so where do I send this?
My name is Jerry Fielka, G-E-R-R-Y. F-I-A-L-K-A. 2427 and a half. Glendon, Glyndon. Venice, 90291.
Great.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you, and
we are actually working on getting organizations going on here in the South Bay, and we probably will be able to synchronize with you because we're looking for people to come in and speak. We've already got somewhere in the area of about 40, 50 people for the initial meeting, although we're starting to open up the door to a lot of people because we've been going to these civic council meetings, you know, where people are just pissed off at the tax situation.
Yes.
And so we go to the meetings and we listen to them get up and inquired about this, this, and that, but of course they're grumbling from a position of lack of knowledge. And all of a sudden one of us gets up and we give a little bit of a speech, and people just flock to us because they're going, Jesus, where are you getting this information? Matter of fact, I was on Wednesday, last Wednesday, I was in Torrance Court on trial for my right to travel. And because they had given me a citation for no registration, no plates, no driver's license. And so I went into that court. It was myself, the judge, the prosecutor, and about 12 lawyers who were sitting there ready for the next case.
Yes.
And I stood up and said, Your Honor, I have an opening statement to make. And she said, okay. And I made my opening statement, which was about one page of information. And when I finished, she looked at me and she smiled and picked up her coffee cup and stood up and said, I need to step down off the bench. And the lawyers were just like gasping, going, what the heck? And she came and she looked at the prosecutor and she said, you understand. And she sat behind myself and the prosecutor and moderated from that point on. She would not sit in the judge's chair after what I had said.
Wow.
Because I brought truth, law, constitution into a court where the municipal courts are not courts of law. They were our military revenue collecting courts. And she had signed a secret oath that she cannot be part of the truthful constitution of 1849. She works under a fraudulent 1879 constitution that was put into place. So, and I had about 8 friends along with me, just for moral support, and they were just sitting back and was like, good grief. We were all blown away that she just said, I have to step down now.
Wow, that's amazing.
So we're starting to move some small mountains, but they're getting bigger.
That is amazing. Can you hold on 1 second?
Sure.
Thanks. Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Do you know Rich Iverson?
I know the name.
Well, I know he attends those meetings at the Mandala. Mm-hmm. Do you guys get any of your spokesmen on Roy's show?
Yeah, we've actually been on there, especially during tax time when all of them are questioning taxes and whatnot. So we get on there and sit back and give the point of view from the non-14th Amendment perspective. So we're not tax protesters, but once you change your status, you are no longer a person responsible for taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And the key word is person. If you notice, every code, whether it be penal code or DMV code, says any person shall, any person found guilty of, any person. It's always a person as the predecessor.
Mm-hmm.
And once they have set up the status of legal status of person, then the code applies to that 14th Amendment Social Security, you know,
Hold it.
You know, yes, exactly. And once you change your status and all of those binds are lifted, the code no longer applies to you.
Right.
Since you're no longer a person. You go back to a capital C citizen people, and you are a whole people instead of three-fifths. And it's amazing. It's like, you know, 4 years ago, I would have been oblivious of this. But we've become extremely well-educated, I think.
Well, that's good. Did you ever hear of Dick Gregory's little scheme with his son? He named him one name, so he never needed to avoid the draft, because that messes up their computers when you only have one name.
Right. Also, be aware of the fact that when your name is in all capital letters, it's no longer you, the human living entity. It's a natural resource, piece of property, a property belonging to commerce.
What defines that?
When you're born, your parents signed a birth certificate, which was sent off to commerce. And commerce then took you as a living entity and created you as a natural resource and put your name in all caps. So if you look at your driver's license, your credit cards, everything that you own that is connected to the federal is in all capital letters. And when you walk into court for whatever reason, the first thing they do is they look at you and say, are you John Smith? And you say, yes, I am, Your Honor. Well, they just got all their ducks in line. They now have put you in all caps on their paper, and you acknowledge the fact that you were. You didn't question. So the next thing they say is you're charged with violating this code. And code is not law. Code is something you do for a secret, you know, to keep secrets from other people.
Uh-huh.
They never say that you broke a law. And then they just say, how do you plead? So that's all we want to know. Are you? You're accused of. How do you plead? And if you sat back and said, well, for the record, Your Honor, my name is John, capital J, small, O-H-N, Smith, capital S, small, M-I-T-H. You just completely screwed up their whole game.
Did you do that?
I did that as well.
And that sort of, did that help send this judge into a tizzy a little, or did this...
The very first thing, and I said that, you know, this is how I identify myself, a living entity, not as a piece of commerce or a piece of property or as an artificial entity. For the record, I'm very aware that capitalization has legal and political significance. And she looked at me and cocked her head and sort of like, uh-oh, now what's coming? At which point I went into constitutional information and whatnot. So.
What's the name of your organization again?
California Citizens.
Hmm.
California is a separate country. Texas is a separate country. The United States is defined as the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, and United Samoa, and the territories. It does not include the 50 separate compact states. So therefore, if you are a citizen of the United States, you're a citizen of the District of Columbia, and that's your permanent location, is the District of Columbia. However, since you don't live there, and D.C. is a foreign country to California, you are therefore representing D.C. in the foreign country of California. Therefore, you are residing here or a resident. That's why they always say residence, residential district. It's all, you know, the concept that we elect somebody to represent us in France, they're residing there. They are a resident. They're not a citizen of France.
Mm-hmm. How does this relate to the rock group, The Residents?
They probably don't know.
Wait, what was that?
They probably don't know the difference.
Oh, they probably don't know.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, if they do, great, but I doubt it. So.
What's your name?
Name is Bo.
Bo, it was really a pleasure. I hope to get your self-addressed stamped envelope, because I would love to get your reaction to the further printed matter I'll send you.
Great. Well, thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, and good luck.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Hello.
Good morning. I got this number, if you're listening to KPFK this morning, and to Bob Dobbs, and he left this number that as a way to get in touch with him.
Well, great. We're glad you called. Where are you calling from?
Santa Monica.
And how did you happen to tune into the show?
Well, quite by accident.
Do you listen to KPFK regularly?
Sporadically.
I see. And what did you find intriguing about the show?
Well, just a whole lot of different stuff.
What particular?
Well, you know, a lot of that stuff is over my head conceptually. I don't think in that phraseology. I haven't read Bucky Fuller and even Joyce, and so a lot of it was over my head. But I was trying to grasp what he was getting about, and what the callers were getting about. I felt I understood some of it.
What do you think? What did you understand? You know, what did you find that you were relating to?
Snippets here and there, more or less, you know, mm-hmm. like just, I guess part of my mind is searching when I hear someone coming from this kind of place, I'm searching for little signs that I can tie into my own grasp of reality to, you know, to discern where this being is coming from, whether or not it, you know, I can justify, you know, further searching of this information as to being important to me, or write it off as being someone that's a little kooky, you know. And in this case, I wasn't able to really write any of that off. So as far as specifically telling you what, I can tell you, I was very intrigued with his statement about the Kennedy's assassinations and his part in there. And that gives me a great deal I'm concerned and I'm interested in finding out more about that as to, you know, what is going on here with this circle of ten, and if, you know, if they're highly intelligent, well-intentioned human beings that are just, you know, manipulating too much here or something, you know. I'm not trying to see anybody busted, but I'm trying to get at the truth and something like that. I've never been like a aficionado of conspiracy theories. I've never given that a whole lot of energy, but to hear him cop to being involved in that was pretty, just, you know, I won't say disturbing, but of great interest to me. And now I'm wondering just where he, you know, I heard him sort of sound apologetic for their past actions, that they were moving out of fear in some of those decisions, and I can, you know, relate to. Someone's trying to get through. Can you hold a second?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, in fact, that reminded me what you just said of a sentence out of a McLuhan book called The Literary Criticism of Marshall McLuhan, and it says, "Must we continue to mow down the Kennedys in order to illustrate that the hot politics of the old machines won't work on the cool and involving TV medium?" And that's a question. But I'm glad you called and expressed your interest. I can send you 4.5 pages of information in printed form, and then you can let me know your reactions, and you can acquire more information in whatever medium you want, whether it be audio cassettes or videotape or his book, Phatic Communion with Bob Dobbs.
Okay, so what is your relationship to Bob?
I'm just a friend of Bob's, and I've been getting him on David's show over the last 4 years, a couple times. Well, he's been on about 4 times now.
Yeah. Well, I had not heard of him before. I think I'd heard of I heard him mention that something is Church of Subgenius or something.
Yeah.
I'd heard of that before, but I don't know any particulars about it. The name had just sort of caught my attention at some point, but I don't remember in regards to what.
Yeah, they have 3 interesting books. suggest you check those books out.
Huh? Well, I haven't been searching for, I guess this type of, I don't know what, how can I say this type?
It's just information.
I've been actively searching, my quest has been more of a spiritual nature, reading things from supposedly enlightened spiritual beings.
Who have you read?
Well, I've read something by Questions and Answers presented to a man named Nisargadatta called I Am That. He was a Hindu who never made claims to being a savior. He lived in a slums over a public urinal, rolled cigarettes for a living, and people around the world heard of his clarity and showed up at his doorstep, and some man had the forethought to tape these questions and answers. So that's kind of like been my, over the year, past 5 years, that's been kind of like my connection to what I feel is extreme clarity and sanity. And so I haven't felt the need to just get too involved with people that were, my experience with a lot of human stuff is this, even highly intelligent people don't necessarily have wisdom to balance it out,
Right.
So you can have a lot of screwed up situations by that, people with a lot of brains that mean well that buck up, But
let me give you my address.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a pencil?
Yes, I do.
Okay, it's 2427 and a half. Glendon, Glyndon. That's Venice, 90291. And my name is Jerry, Gerry. The last name is Fialka, Fialka.
Fialka, Fiala.
Fiala.
2427 half Glendon.
Yeah.
90291.
Yeah, if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you some information, and you can let me know your reaction from there. You can get Bob's CD at Tower Records. It's called Bob's Media Ecology. The artist is Producers for Bob.
Okay.
And
I'm not a very fast writer, so to run that whole thing.
Yeah, the artist is Bob. Excuse me. The artist name is Producers for Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And the title is Bob's Media Ecology.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying in essence that Bob listening to this got you out of your 5 years of silence, or?
I haven't been silent. I just haven't been scanning around for
other than the one you have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but I read other people that are my own bent has been to try to quiet the mind somewhat and get a meditation approach going where I'm not running amok, because my mind tends to not, in real constructive ways, tends to run around in circles. So I've been just trying to get focused, and I've had troubles with depression and stuff. I don't have any kind of a violent thing. It's just mostly depression, short-circuiting energy stuff that I'm trying to get clear about. But that's been my interest. I studied meditation 5-6 years ago and did retreats, and I felt that that's a good way for most of us that minds don't shut up ever. I thought that was a way to get. So that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's where.
Yeah. Who else have you read in these 5 years?
Probably not people that that are very popular. There are people that I teach or subscribe to a thing called Vipassana style of meditation out of the Orient.
Uh-huh.
It's a form of Buddhism, but just a simple form. But I haven't done any reading. I haven't read people like, I'm sure I haven't read anybody you're used to, McLuhan and...
Or like Alan Watts or Christian Murty?
I've listened, you know, I've read some Alan Watts in the past, and Christian Murty I was never all that attracted to. But yeah, Alan Watts, I always like to listen to him on, you know, like when they do his tapes on KPFK. But that's from kind of a long time ago, you know, 10 to 15 years ago when they used to do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I'm attracted to that.
But what do you think, I know I asked you this, but what do you think in this, hearing this Bob was actually the main attracting thing to it, that spurred your interest? I mean...
Well, I was interested in it before he got to the assassination bit, just because of you know, there's a part of me that's curious about this, somewhat, you know, I guess I haven't been actively curious, but about this information glut.
Uh-huh.
And all that I feel we're taking in all the time.
Uh-huh.
I guess the things that he was saying about it, you know, made me perk up, because I said, maybe there's someone that knows something I don't. Hold a second, this might be important.
Okay.
Sorry. Hi?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I was just trying to understand it, basically, and I could... And again, as I initially said, I was trying to weed out, trying to get a handle on if, you know, sometimes you get a sense about somebody that's, they're a little bit unbalanced somewhere. So, you know, then I lose interest pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
If I can sense something about their personality that's a little strange, if they don't have a sense of humor, then that's how you weed and sort, you know. And,
right.
But in this case, I was scanning all that, and I was getting everything was like, there was nothing wrong with it that I could tell. There were some parts that I didn't understand, but I knew that was...
You just sensed some stability here.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that was really good. What's your name?
Bert.
Bert, well, it was great that you called and expressed your interest. I hope you send the self-addressed stamped envelope, because I will send you some more information.
Very, I appreciate it.
And let me know your reactions.
Yeah, I'll be glad to do that, but can you answer me, like, one question first?
Oh, sure.
Why would Bob be so forthcoming and forthright about his involvement in those assassinations at this point?
He's expressed it before.
Before?
Yeah, I mean, it was quoted from a paper that was like the Reader or the Weekly up in Seattle. He talked about it all then.
About how long ago?
That was several months ago that was published, but...
So do you know consciously what his decision to do that is at this time? Is it like, does he want the truth to be out, or is he, what's, because it just seems like that's so, that type of admission is going to get people buzzing, and you're going to get, it seems like you're going to get some heat.
Well, I think that's the sort of thing that he has to answer. I mean, I can forward the question on to him.
Yeah.
And I think it's just he comes out with you know, he decides what he wants to talk about.
Oh.
And he talks about it, and I don't really, you know, it's hard for me when somebody asks a question like that.
Right, that's
for me to answer it for him.
Right.
I think
well, it wouldn't be.
I think he realizes that, and yeah. You know,
that would be easier if he had explained to you in depth about that, then you wouldn't have a problem with that. But it sounds like you don't really know, and that's a part that just you know, it does trouble me, and I'd like to, without passing judgment on someone, I'd like eventually if I can to talk to him personally and ask him those questions and say, you know, find out exactly where he's coming from now, if it's not, you know, where he was coming from then, and not only that, but try to find out where this group of 10 is coming from, if they are in fact 10 individuals, And because it doesn't compute with me that people, no matter how bright and intelligent, should try to manipulate human activity. You know, it just really, I really have a problem with that. But I won't say that I'm closed-minded. He's obviously a very brilliant, intelligent man, but I have these raging questions in me now.
Right.
How someone of that intelligence can justify, and perhaps at this point in time he can't justify that, those kinds of actions, but at one time he could, and I guess I need to get clear about that. If those people are conscious enough to have regretted their actions in that way they were before, or if they still feel that that's quite all right in the overall scheme of things to eliminate certain individuals just for the betterment of the whole. You know, that's, I have a real problem with that. So that's one of the things that I've been disturbed ever since I listened to the thing, because had I not heard that bit about the assassination, I would have probably still been greatly interested in this man and what he had to say. But because of that additional information, now I'm like torn, really. It's really baffling me, you know. And my interest in this is just getting at truth, because I'm greatly concerned for the human condition and the welfare of all the beings on the planet. I guess I have a Buddhist perspective. I want to see an end to suffering for all human and animal life. And maybe that's a bit idealistic, but I think that's in our best sense is what we all can strive for, you know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Bert, is that's part of Bob's agenda, is to keep the truth baffling. So, I mean, that's a hard question, and you can propose it in written form when you send the self-addressed stamped envelope, and I can pass it on to Bob, and maybe he'll, you know, write you a note back or,
okay,
you know, something. But
right.
It's definitely a legitimate question, but I think that's part of it,
okay,
is that the truth is baffling, and there is, you know, that... baffling is the truth. It works both ways. So
yeah, well, there may be a point where you know one has to stop the conscious quest for truth in that you can't figure out at some level. You got to relinquish the mad tendency to try to figure everything out. Maybe that's kind of what you're saying. That at some point, it's not figurable.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find that out. And I'd appreciate, Jerry, that you send me this. Oh, or I'm to write to you with a self address.
Yeah, if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you all the info.
Hey, you got it.
All right, thanks for calling.
Yeah, nice talking with you, Jerry.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
You could not like Bob.
Hello?
Jerry Nels.
Hi, Nels.
How you doing? Is Bob there?
Oh, yeah.
Let me
put that one up
for a quick one.
Sure. Yeah, it went really well. Thanks for calling. You sounded great. I said, man, does Nels take dramatic lessons?
Oh, Nels, it was an awesome show, man.
Great. Well, I want a copy set soon.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you we played Garrett for an hour. I want you to hear that.
The whole show.
Yeah, 2.5 hours. It was awesome.
Listen, I want to tell you something. When you call a long distance phone number from Canada, from here to Los Angeles, after 40 rings,
yeah,
you get a tone, you get a voice that says, I'm sorry, there's no answer on your phone, you will now be disconnected.
It's not even long distance, it's local. That's what happens on KPSK or anywhere. You're not allowed to ring longer than 40 rings.
Why didn't you tell me?
I forgot about it. It wasn't in my mind.
You know, what
happened?
That happened, I thought, oh, shit, I'm not going to get on this show.
But you did, so...
I know, but the thing is this...
I forgot.
You forgot, but if the show had gone through and I had not called, what would you have thought?
Something fucked up. that, that Henry was sick or something.
Well, no, that's right. Next time that happens, you know what it is.
Yes, sir. We fucked up. I'm sorry, Tom, you know.
But you remember, I knew something could happen.
Something always happens, Nelson. We always forget.
Anyway, you know how many times I had to call?
No.
I had to call 10 times. Because I had to call 10 times because it would go 40, and then all of a sudden I get the and I thought to myself, and you know what it says? It goes something like, the party you're at, there's no answer here, this phone number, you will now be disconnected. And then it says 818-4T.
4T 1 4 1.
It says 818-4T. As in tangle, 4T.
And that's what it says. It's code.
Code. And I thought 818. That's the area code.
Yeah.
4T. Now 4T. 40 or 4T? 4T. Think of the number 22.
That's right. 18 and 4. It's got your numbers. Got my numbers. Got Tom Touche in it. It's got everything in it. Yeah.
I'm getting these numbers.
And you thought Bob and fuck Tom Touche up. He put a whammy. He didn't tell you. And fuck Touche panicked back in his cooties.
You like how I rewrote our conversation?
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was perfect. You got every...
Was
yeah.
It good?
Yeah, it was just flowed real good, and I just kept quiet because I knew you knew I'd keep quiet, and so I just let you pause, say each phrase, then go on to the next. It worked out good. At one point, what did Porter do? He goes, could you hear Porter?
Yes, I heard Porter say,
Is there something wrong with your voice?
Is there something wrong with your voice? And you said, no, that's the way he talks. It's Tom Touche. And then I said, I am not putting any AM in my voice. Oh,
which was perfect. You know, we gave out Jerry's phone number at the end, said, if you want to pass messages on to Bob, call it number. We have now taped 10 people approximately. We have taped, maybe Jerry wants to send you that, people's reactions to this.
Oh, I want that.
And one guy was really impressed with that Tom Touche guy. He knew about surveillance. He said AM. He knew. He believed the fucking thing that you did.
Yeah.
So, I forgot that. We got to send him these fucking... These responses are awesome, Nelson. You won't believe it, man.
Well, what was your response after I hung up?
What did I say about you?
What did you say?
What did I say, Jerry?
Well, you'll send me the tape.
Yeah, I can't. I don't. Am I right in thinking that I didn't get to say much because we took another call right after?
I forget about it.
I can't remember. I felt that I said what I had to say. I don't feel incomplete about it.
No, I know. I know what you mean. Listen, Bob, if you got your... Last night it was late. I don't know what I did with it. While I'm talking to you, do you have your new number for...
Just
give it to me once again.
You always lose numbers over there at your place.
No, I don't. I just was late, Bob.
Well, you lost the... Well, you went up to the cottage. You didn't have Walter's number, remember? Well, you left. You had an alibi there. You left it back at... In Toronto.
Don't carry my number. Just give it to me once.
451.
Yeah.
9277.
Perfect.
Now,
Kurt, I've got it.
Yeah, 451.
I've got it elsewhere. I just want to make sure.
451-9277.
I didn't say I lost it. I've got it in my room somewhere, but I was late last night.
Right.
I want to make sure since I got you on the phone, it takes a sec.
Yeah. So listen, sending those the...
Full mark?
Oh, it was very good. What you did, it came through clear. You know, it was whispered but audible. You said all the points. I might have wanted you to say a little more about Stang, but I think you said enough about Stang. I think you said enough. I think the Stang point was said, Jerry. Yeah, Jerry says it was way enough. It was very well done what you did. And I think it's a whammy. And a lot of the callers who called in to us after the show at Jerry's house, most of them didn't seem to hear the first part of the show. So one guy heard you, but most of them like tuned in the middle of the show and wanted to know what the hell was going on and wanted to know more, and they were intrigued.
Good.
But unfortunately, I don't think we got enough on the beginning stuff.
What beginning stuff?
Well, you and whatever else, Robert Anton Wilson guy. Oh, here's the thing. You remember how you thought the guy who was the Robert Anton Wilson double, the fake Robert, you said, I think he knows Robert Anton Wilson. They're in cahoots together.
Yes.
All right, well, this guy called in. The double called in at the beginning of the show.
No, not necessarily, Bob.
I'm saying the double. A guy called in, okay? And I said, to me, his voice was exactly the guy who does the double.
Right.
Okay, and I said, what did I say? Are you Robert Anton Wilson?
Yeah.
I asked him that.
With him, and he's the guy who introduces Robert.
No, no. Did I say, are you Robert Anton Wilson? I think I said that. I brought the point up of his connection with Robert Anton Wilson, and I think I tried to pretend to say that he was him. So I said, are you Robert Anton Wilson? And he says, no, I'm not. Right, Jerry?
Right. He said, I introduced him.
Yeah, then he says, I'm the guy who was with the real Robert Anton Wilson and introduced him.
Yeah, that's right. I remember
that. Yeah. And then that was that. And I was thinking after the show, I said, that guy, I'm sure that is the double, because he has that tone in his voice that he has that he can imitate Wilson with.
Oh,
and I said, that means he is a friend of Wilson.
Right.
Because they were in the room together. He says he was...
We already tried that last night, Bob, and it's the guy who calls right after...
Hold on a minute, just a minute. What?
It's the guy who calls right after
I know
the
that.
First show, so
Bob,
how could he
just a minute,
call
Nelson.
And recall? He
well,
can't.
That, yeah, that, this is what Jerry's saying. He doesn't think that the guy who called for the real Wilson and introduced the real Wilson, he doesn't think that guy called right after the fake Wilson. Why couldn't he? Wouldn't he just call back?
Because it was one call after the other. He was
no,
on the
right,
show.
But there could have been no other calls.
They could have had two lines.
Well, they had 10 lines. I don't think that totally holds, Jerry. There only been one call, the guy's on, and then he calls back because there was no other calls.
Technologically, it's perfectly feasible.
No, we're not talking about technologically.
No,
Jerry,
it's technologically, if he has two phones in his house, that's the only way.
Well, he just hangs up and calls back.
Bob, there's two lines beeping. They're both on hold.
Right, but is that what was happening? Did Dave say we had two calls?
And he goes from one to the next.
Yeah, he did. I think they implied two calls.
Bob.
Well, when you hear the tape, you listen. I thought I heard the double. Listen, I thought I heard the double's tone in there. And if he is the double, he's a friend of Wilson. Or maybe he mixed up. Maybe he was the double. He claimed he was the other guy.
Bob, you go back and you listen to the first Robert Anton Wilson. And you listen to what he says. He's putting you on in a nice way, but it's a up your ass put on. Because you listen to what he says. He says that he's saying one thing and you're taking it a different way. He's saying to you, you go back and listen to it. He's saying that there was this group that was into chaos theory and that was your mother and father and their name was Dobbs.
Yeah, and they had the two kids.
The two kids, and he's claiming, the whole reason he read that on the air was he was trying to say that he knows that
the real Dobbs.
You're that Dobbs from that family of the chaos.
Yeah, or he's saying that there's another family and you're not Dobbs, there's this other family.
I didn't take it that way, but go listen to it.
But the point is,
he's not a friendly Wilson. He's coming across as if he's friendly, but he's really not.
Well, that's true. Now, here's what I realized when I listened.
I believe he's working with Aunt Wilson.
Right, yeah. So you might agree with me today that was the same guy calling and claiming he was the one who introduced
Absolutely.
Wilson. Okay, now here's this. When you listen to that show again, when I re-listened to it playing for Dave Worster, he came over the other day and I played him the show, I realized that the guy who calls later and wants to get information on some publisher and I give him time again,
right?
That's the fake Wilson guy.
Yeah.
Because I think he says chaos. He says, I need chaos publications. You know where I can get it?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that sounds like the fake voice of Robert Anton Wilson.
Listen to it again.
Yeah, in other words, it was the same guy, I think.
All right, I've got to go. It's prime time. Hey, listen, what's the weather like in L.A.?
Actually, it's cloudy here.
Cloudy? Is it hot?
Not yet, no. Just nothing happened. But what was amazing on this show was Dave Worster called in near, you know, two-thirds way through, and he did an amazing rap where there's so much to talk about to explain what Cosmic Awareness means to me. And he talks about the effect of McClone. It's unbelievable. So
tell me about it.
No.
Send me the tape.
Right. So we'll send you the 2.5 hours. But here's the other thing. You're going to send me supposedly the EIRs?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm thinking... Well, we'll check this, but there are lots of people called who want to buy the book. So we might try to get it into a bunch of bookstores here. So in the future, we might want you to send a box of Bob books.
No problemo.
Maybe send that one you've got. Maybe I'll give you another one when I come through on the way to London.
No problemo.
And then Jerry's got 100 or whatever to send off. Now, people, we're giving out your stuff. You got John or somebody responding to orders for the CD, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
We've got Tom Touche on tape now.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Yes, is Bob still accepting phone calls?
What do you need to know, David Porter?
Valley today, and as you sleep, may the valley grow greener. And in that valley to give to you, what it will only give to you as you sleep there, that green, be in that green with it.
So, how did you think the show turned out this morning?
I really enjoyed it, David. What'd you think?
I liked it, too.
Yeah, it was different because it was a lower key, but I think that served a purpose.
Yeah, well, see, I knew that Roy was going to be taping it for his show.
Really?
Yeah, I said, just start your tape at 6 and let it run. So he was going to do it.
Oh, that's good. I hope he plays all 2.5 hours now. Did you get any reaction from him on him playing your tape?
No, I just heard reactions of people who tape it and got back to me, and they go, these people call up and they think he's serious. That Ned who called up about the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, that was one of the better calls, because you can't just have people calling up, you know, agreeing with him and matching him.
Like, who's the whisperer?
Tom Touche?
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a while to figure. Did you hear me say so? The butler did it.
Yes, I did hear you say that. Yeah.
I know Bob didn't, but did you get any calls after the show?
We've gotten 10 amazing calls. You can get an audio of them.
Great. I had one at the station want to know if I had taped the show, and I said I had.
Good. And he wants a copy?
Yeah, he's gonna send me a 90.
Good. And you know, I'll give him the chart at least. You know, make him one Xerox of the chart.
Which one?
You know, the chart that I sent you that has both charts on a page and it has Time Again Productions address at the
top. Two that are in the CD, right?
Yeah.
I can't find that. I can just make it out of the booklet then.
Well, whatever. No, I'll send you a new one.
But, you know, what's this secret third chart that no one's supposed to know about? That threw me a curve.
Well, he just didn't want to talk about it yet, but it was good you brought it up because it's like a preview. Someday he'll talk about it.
Yeah, where'd you hear about that? I can't reveal my sources. Now, no, if I said, I have no information on that. Where I got it from.
That was good. Yeah, that was real good. And you brought up the Gene Houston was good. That was a good stepping stone. In the
all those ideas.
And the Eric McLuhan. Yeah, you did it fine.
Yeah, and he took that first call really well.
The first call was great. I just wish you would have worked it in later and you would have said, okay, go ahead, caller. Because you usually go ahead, caller.
Yeah, but I was also, what I was seeing is I was seeing the phone bank light up like crazy and I wanted to get it over with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then what happened is they'd all drop off at once and then they'd all come back at once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. It went up to line I and J at the end of the show.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding about that. I wish I could get that kind of pledge time response.
Well, all I can say is let's do it again. Let's set up a date.
You're a fucking loser.
Let's set up another date right now.
What was that?
Oh, I'm just doing my pixel shit. I'm trying to do edits and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I was going to say, all I can say is let's... well, one person said that if you call and it rings 40 times, it automatically hangs up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So the other thing is that, you know, all I can say is if you get that good response, why don't we set it up for in another 2 months?
Yeah.
You want to set a date now?
No.
Okay.
I want to listen to this tape and enjoy myself, man. I almost fell asleep a couple times on
the... Oh, at the beginning, you sound like, That was good, man. The best thing is if Garrett puts you to sleep, man, that's great.
Now you know who Ken Rexroth is.
Yeah, I do. Well, David, you don't know. We really appreciate it, the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate putting...
And that was the fourth time you done Bob, basically.
I appreciate getting the publicity for my own show and doing a whole month of promotion for people to listen to my show and getting Rhodey's audience to listen to...
I know, I thought...
And being an ego walking around for my show.
The fucking promo was brilliant. I heard it so many times that it just...
Yeah, I heard, like, yesterday I heard at 4 o'clock, I heard the long version, and it's... 5:15. I heard the short version.
Yeah.
And so that thing was played all the time.
You're gonna have to put the versions on tape because I didn't get either version. I got it off of Roy's show once, and it was fucking edited. He didn't even give you the last part.
Oh well, that's probably the minute and a half version.
No, because the minute and a half version says you're gonna end up being paranoid at the end.
No. That's the minute and a half version that doesn't have that. So you got the minute and a half version, and on my tape I put the 3-minute version.
Oh.
You've got the short version already.
Oh.
So I will make you a copy of the long version, because I made sure I copied the cart before I left the...
Well, no, but yeah, just copy them both so I have a clean copy. I mean, it's just no big deal. I'll get it sometime in the future.
Yeah, well, never anyway. So, actually, see, I don't really have a copy of the short version, because I made that tape...
That was
actually something I edited and did for the station.
Okay.
I just have the master to the long version, and I made the short one out of that. So you've got a unique copy of the short version, because I didn't keep a copy of that one.
Great.
I preferred the 2 minute and 50 second version of it, the 2 hour and 50 minute promo tape. Okay, man. Well, I just wanted to hear what kind of response you got.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I'll bring you a tape of all the phone calls.
Okay. Did he like the thing about the reference to him being videoed out in the field under that bare light?
I thought that was great. You did good.
Yeah, I was really feeling kind of serious today because the callers, I figure I'm going to sucker the callers in this time. In 88, he suckered me. Well, now it's my turn.
You did well.
Okay, man.
But I do think we should set September 25th, Yom Kippur,
uh-huh.
as a tentative.
You know what I can do then? I can pull out one of my bloopers where the guy was, stay tuned for the dance music of Les Paul's orchestra.
Yeah.
Someone crossed out Les Paul, put Yom Kippur, and the guy actually read, stay tuned for the dance music of Yom Kippur's orchestra.
That's cool. So,
okay, let's set it tentatively September 25th.
That's cool.
But, let me...
Yeah, you think about it. That's cool.
Yeah, because I might want to get that in the folio, too.
That I think getting in the folio would be great.
Okay.
Okay, thanks again, David.
Bye.
I really appreciate it. Hello?
Hello, is Jerry there?
Speaking.
Hi, Jerry. Is this Phineas from San Jose?
Hi, Phineas.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Well, I got a request from on the board, on the Usenet.
Yeah?
About posting that interview again. I was wondering if it was okay.
Yeah, I'd prefer you to put the notes in.
The notes, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to do that project, and I never got around to it, but...
Okay.
I'll just send you the last page.
Okay, yeah.
And then you can ID them where they go in, or you can just tell the people to guess where they go in.
Yeah, okay. Alright. You got my address and everything?
Yeah, it's the same P.O. box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you have the address handy for that, was it Dove Entertainment?
Sure.
You have that? Can I get that?
Yeah. Let me see, where do I have it? Probably right here. Dove is two Bloor Street. B-L-O-O-R Street.
Okay.
West.
Okay.
Suite number 100
okay.
-159.
Okay.
Toronto, Ontario.
Okay.
M-4-W.
N as in Nancy?
M as in Mary.
Or M? 4W
3E2
3E2, okay.
Telephone is 416
766-9612.
And what was the guy's name?
Jerry Belanger. B-E-L-A-N-G-E-R, I think.
Say it again.
Jerry, and the last name is B-E-L-A-N-G-E-R.
Okay. And it was 766-961?
766-9612.
Okay. All right, I got that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So how are things going? How's Frank doing?
Oh, he's doing okay. I actually saw him the other day, and he's looking. Hello?
Hi, Jerry. It's Carolyn.
Hi, Carolyn.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. The show was just...
Hello?
Hello, Dave.
Yeah,
it's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, I just wanted to congratulate you. You did a fine job of explaining stuff that really meshed with the McLuhan stuff.
Did you get any comment on it? Anybody else?
Yeah, what we did is we taped.
Yeah.
We've gotten about 10 phone calls at Jerry's of people calling in and wanting more information and talking, so we got that all on tape, so maybe you can get a copy of it. And they were talking about the high quality information, and there was a couple of mentions of Dave, right? Jerry, there was like...
One guy that I can think of.
Yeah, there was in some of the conversations that Jerry had with the people, there was mention of what we were talking about or when you were on.
Uh-huh.
So you did get noticed in the reviews.
I was wondering if there's some kind of response and...
Basically, they were all mind-blown by it all. They said, this is amazing. They said, I don't fully understand what they were talking about, but it was pretty amazing and pretty new, and I'd like to find out more about it. And I think Jerry...
Specifically, actually, Dave, one guy was curious about you, and he says, I'd like to know more about Dave.
Yeah.
And I said, well, maybe we can get him on David's show sometime.
Uh-huh.
So whatever, if
that's
you,
right.
I could ask David if you were interested, and we could do either a phone interview or, if you wanted to go into the studio, I could drive you and we just sit there and talk, you know.
Uh-huh. But I just remembered, we were wondering, well, I wasn't going to, but I remember thinking now, should we give Dave's number? No, we can't give Dave's number out.
Probably not.
Yeah, not at this point.
Uh-huh.
Do the public thing first, and then see what you want to do after the effects of
if
that.
If somebody wants to leave their number and say something about themselves, then we could look at that separately.
Yeah, if Jerry gets a response, he's going to send out stuff. When they send in their self-addressed envelope, he'll send some literature out to them,
uh-huh.
Some reviews of Bob and stuff, and then if they pursue it, then we might get you together with
that's
them.
That's right.
So it was really good.
Uh-huh. I had my radio on, but I had fallen asleep, and I woke up, and I didn't have the radio very loud, and I apparently had it on the station right next to it. And I thought, I wonder what time it is, and I jiggled it over, and there you were talking.
And that
was about, I think, about 7:45.
So you heard a while before you came on.
Yeah, I did. I didn't know how much longer you'd be on, so at one point I wasn't maybe even going to call, because I figured it would...
And
but as it is, I waited for a while, and then I did it.
Yeah. No, I thought this might happen after, since we cleared things up on Wednesday or whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
I thought, well, maybe that Dave will get into it and want to call in, because I was going to talk about something like that or mention you.
Uh-huh. And Sharon called right afterwards, and she says, I forgot to turn it on until the last, she says, and when I turned it on, she heard me for about 2 minutes. And she says, were you on the air? I says, yes. She hadn't heard me introduced, she just heard me talking. And
she only caught you the last 2 minutes of
of the show.
Yeah.
So she wants copies, too.
Right. Now, you're saying she heard 2 minutes of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right at the end.
Were you the last caller? Was he the last caller, Jerry?
I think there was another one.
Yeah.
She called in the meantime and was I was on the phone with her briefly. I said, I want to listen to this, so I got off.
Right. But she caught the last 2 minutes of you.
Something like that.
Yeah. So what we can do is we'll give you and
then she can make a copy.
Yeah, what we'll do is since you miss Garrett, we're going to give you the whole 2.5 hour show plus the
nice.
We're going to give you about 3 cassettes so you guys can really get into it. We get the whole 6 o'clock to 8:30 thing, plus we got a whole 90 minute of phone calls after Jerry. Is it 1 or 2 tapes?
Yeah.
Including Nelson. I want you to hear Nelson called in as Tom Touche. At the very beginning, I got my business partner, the guy who distributes the thing. We have a scenario where he's Tom Touche, who is my former butler, who was turned against me in the Secret Council of 10 and trying to sabotage me, including
Oh, it's a play. You're...
The theatrical part came out. But I don't think I'll tell you any more. I'll let you hear it, and you'll hear it. But it was really good. He called in from Toronto, and he did his part. And we had another little thing that Dave did. He pretended he had a caller, but all it was a quote from Twin Peaks, some soundtrack of the dwarf or midget or something talking on Twin Peaks about Bob. So we had two theatrical elements at the beginning. So we'll give you the whole show, and then you'll hear the whole thing, and then we can talk about it. But what I liked about this show is I decided, and I didn't know until later, Dave Porter decided to it. You'll hear Dave Porter talk, the host of the show. You'll hear him talk about it when he called into Jerry after. He said, I decided to be serious and not get into laughing stuff that we did the last show. And I had already decided that, too. I was going to talk slower. I was going to talk real serious and have a different mood. And Porter had decided to do that on his own, too, so that worked. And Porter says, Bob fooled me in 88, and so I decided to play it real and have him fool people out there. I was gonna help him fool people. That's how he interpreted it. But I don't know how he was fooled in 88, but he said he wanted to fool people, and so he played down the ha-ha level of it.
Uh-huh.
What just meant, what, Jerry? What?
That you fooled him in 88, so he fooled you with the
Oh, he's talking about me? He's talking about me?
He fooled you with the Twin Peaks call.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, he's saying, I thought he meant he fooled
the
audience.
You're so stupid, we sent him the Twin Peaks call.
But are you saying that, you sure he didn't want to fool the audience? Oh, I don't know. Anyways, what Jerry is saying is that because I fooled him in 88, however it was, he fooled me by pretending it was a call in from somebody with the Twin Peaks tape. And so he says it was more fooling me than the audience, but that may have to be rediscussed at some future point.
When we review it, we'll... I could be wrong.
So did Chris hear this, or is he sleeping?
No. He got up, he heard your voice, and got up and said, what the hell's going on? Went to the bathroom and went back, so I don't.
He went back to sleep. What the hell? And that was after.
He was like bitching because I had the radio loud enough to wake him up.
And that was after you'd been on.
I don't know.
Oh, no, it was probably before. It was before
I'm
you
not
called
sure.
It.
I
does he know you were on?
I don't know. We haven't discussed.
Yeah, because your point about the global attention on the Kennedy assassination, how that was not anticipated by the conspirators, is the whole McClellan point of the newness of this situation, the worldwide attention on anything,
And I forgot to go on to the next, or I somehow or other, but the next point would have been that then Jacqueline Kennedy pushed it up. She's like, John Kennedy was like Christ, and she was like, the Madonna.
Yeah.
Because when she refused to change clothes and kept the attention on those clothes
That
time on all that television in addition, and then when they had the funeral, she walked all the way from, where was it? It was a long walk, and she made all the leaders of the world walk, too.
Yeah.
They were all going to go in limousines for that long walk, and when she walked, they didn't dare ride, and so all the leaders of the world walked, and the whole world saw that. So, I mean, that was really...
Yeah, and that picture is in Marshall's book, The Medium as a Massage. He has the picture of the whole world leaders walking with her.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that really, you're saying she consciously hyped the thing to really...
I don't know whether she consciously...
consciously hype. She did consciously hype it, but it's like she was going to make the world really look at it. She wasn't going to just ride in a limousine. They were all going to walk this great distance and be seen. In other words, there was a big, her power play was probably the biggest.
Yeah, because McLuhan wrote a little essay in Understand Media on that, and he talked about the, you know, the tribal involvement of the funeral had never happened before, that level of involvement in the world leader.
Yeah. All on live television.
Yeah, the live television thing is what he was pointing out.
Yeah.
So I thought that was amazing. We've touched on this. I knew you knew that, and when I first met you, we talked a bit about McLuhan, and then as I got to understand McLuhan in the 70s more, then when I talked to you, I realized you were saying much the same thing as Marshall in awareness terms and how you did it today. I've heard what you said today before, and I realized your awareness was channeling the same thing that awareness was and pointing it out in your terms. The same thing that Marshall was. So I always thought that was interesting. You're the only psychic person, or the one of the only people outside of McLuhan, because I don't think you read that much of McLuhan, right?
No, I hadn't read a lot of McLuhan. Yeah. I knew about him.
You had the book, because we had it in your library, and we looked at it a bit.
Yeah.
But you came up with the same percept that... You came up with the same percept that McLuhan did on your own and through the channeling, and so... That was all reminded to me today when you did it again on the radio and pointed that out. That was really good.
You see, in that time frame when you met me, I hadn't read very many books for a long time because I couldn't handle it. When I'd read just a few pages of any author's book, I would tune into his mind and then would be involved in him...
Yeah.
As well as all the books he's written, but I often didn't. I mean, many a time during that time, if I did that, I could relate all kinds of things about the author that were never written. I mean, there was other things. This is why when
it was too involving to read.
Well, what it did is it would put me out of commission for a couple of weeks because I would have this. Huge amount of information about that person and all of his contact with the public, and it would flood in and it would interfere with me being able to give a reading to anybody else. So I just have to stop reading for a couple of weeks if I read. So that's why I stopped reading books, including the Marshall McLuhan.
Yeah.
The book was given to me, but I don't know that I, at that time, had even really read it.
Yeah.
I had heard about him. I knew a little bit about him, but I don't know whether I actually had read the book.
You had to do your own media college in relation to books. You had to shut off the book environment for yourself.
Well, if I was going to act as a
medium
and an interpreter of her cosmic awareness, because the onslaught of thought forms that would come would permeate the mind and interfere with being able to read.
Yeah. Well, that was really good. It's good to say this and. Jerry, we're taping this, Dave. So this will be part of the commentary, that everybody else, we've got you and I talking about this, the post-game wrap-up, so this will be at the end. You'll be the last person on the second side of the last side of the tape. But, so I want to talk to you after you hear the whole show, because you really didn't hear the whole show or what happened.
Maybe it's just as well.
Yeah.
I was just perfectly silent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, what happened after Garrett came on, after Garrett finished, he was on for over an hour, then we played this little R&B song, and in the gaps in the singers singing, I said, holy ass, as I went, Mae Brussel. I was on the live, so I could talk into the song. So I named all the holy offices, and I named you, and that's what I meant when you were on the air. Did you hear me hear the name? What?
I got it was something like that.
Yeah, and so that's what I was referring to, but and then you indicated you hadn't heard it. But it's on now. You can hear it. So I guess, was there anything else, Jerry?
That's about it. I asked him if he's interested in being on David's show.
Oh, are you interested in being on Porter's show?
Yeah, there was a time you wanted me to do that a couple, 3 years ago, and I thought, well, maybe.
Yeah.
Sure. Under the current, for one thing, I've got a product to promote.
Yeah.
Except it isn't finalized yet.
Yeah, what's the product?
The tape. The video tape.
Yeah, our tape.
Yeah.
Which is, you have a completed edited version of that, don't you?
Well, I have a problem, though. The thing is, that tape can't be released until I get the
copyright on the music.
Copyright's clearance when I do that, but that might take a bunch of money. If I can get...
There's no problem selling it privately.
No, you can't.
Here's what you do. You get Jerry gives it to somebody, they make a donation, and you don't know nothing about it.
I know, but I want to do the thing on the right.
Well, yeah, if you can get it, but if you're going to wait, you take a long time to get that done.
I'll wait.
Okay. Well, at least you can tell, you can generate interest in the tape and the product if you, you do the show.
The next step, on the final step is, there's two factors, is getting that agreement on that stuff, on the music, and then when the agreement occurs, to make sure that all of the proper song titles and the songwriters and the publishing companies are all on there, because that is most important.
Well, here...
then it's viable.
Right, here's the point. At this point, to drum up publicity for it, we can sell the interview part, which doesn't have the music on it.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
That would be redoing the whole thing all over again. And, it would be one hell of a production.
No, but you... Oh, is the music in it? Is the music in it?
Yes.
Oh, it's not separate. It's interweaved.
And the fabulous thing about it is that when Baird Bryant, who edited, showed me the finished copy, and we were sitting watching it, and August Priest was there, and August doesn't know all those songs, but Baird and I did, words. And I told him, I said, this is incredible. I said, did you rearrange the positioning of the songs according to the topics? He says, no, I took the first song and the second song and then the topic and so on. He says, I just went through it as it was. I said, did you know that in that 20 minutes of music that I performed in music what we talked about in 2 hours? It's incredible. If you...
Yeah, the lyrics, the words.
The lyrics. And so that's when August says, well, then what you should do is put the lyrics up on the screen of the song.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I think that would be too much. In other words, too heavy-handed. It's subtle.
Yeah, very expensive.
And the subtleness of it. But it's a master... That was a synergistic masterpiece that none of us knew about till it was all... edited down, that was like 2 years later.
Yeah, and you say different song titles that are interspersed between the talk, the various song titles match with the topic of that little region of the whole thing.
Words, like the first couple of songs, a couple, three songs, and then the first topics that we covered, and then a couple of more songs that were similar. In other words, the before and the after... In some cases, it did a prelude on what was going to be talked about. Sometimes it was a commentary of after what had been talked about. But it worked out that they were correlated. And that had to be synergistic on a very, very high level. And it was like 2 years apart.
Yeah.
So that the realization.
Yeah, so it's you don't want to ruin that effect, so you can't send up, because Jerry, you have a rough copy, don't you, Jerry? Because if you get a few people who are interested, Dave, they could just dub them off a rough copy. But if you're a purist about that, then you'll have to wait.
No. The point is, I want this to be a production, and it requires this and this and this and this and this to be done. And so what we did in '88, we did, and then what I had to do was do it bit by bit. Since, and it isn't finished until that occurs. And I've tried, everybody wants me to go to a lawyer and have a lawyer approach them, but the lawyer, if we do it in that manner, they would just right to go for the top thing. So I have to have somebody who is in the business, who has the connections, who can talk to ASCAP and present it in such a manner that if they don't go for the top, that they go for the bottom, with the contingency that if it gets up to the other level, it could be done. Otherwise, they only want, and that could be $25,000.
Yeah.
That's from what I understand. In other words, it might cost me $25,000 in fees to get that proper release if there's not a cleverer way to go in and get it to put into the library, maybe put on a PBS or put on something that was... But you see, I don't want it under a non-profit status. I want it under a profit-making status for Clearview Media.
Yeah.
You see, if you go non-profit, that's one thing. But I don't want that anymore. I did that.
Yeah.
For years and years and years and got nothing out of it except wipe out. And so this, in this case, I'm only going to go on profit-making in the case of something like a...
Yeah.
APFK, etc. If you have a product. But see, that's my only product.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So there's, so Sharon, did you give her tape back?
I told her about it, but I can't remember whether she's got it yet.
Yeah, she knows you have the two things.
They went to Japan and got back, and we've seen them a little bit, and I told her about it, but I'm not sure whether she's been down to get it yet.
Yeah, that's since I gave it to you on Wednesday.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I got to find out whether, does she have a copy of what I did on May 29th that was played in Roy, or what? Maybe.
Well, she made some kind of copy that she was going to, I don't know,
dub for you.
I'll
have to call her on that, maybe, or you can ask
you want
her.
A telephone number? You've got her number, haven't you?
Hey, Carol does, but give it to me just
398. 398-6104.
398-6104.
Okay.
Okay, so what, maybe I will give you a copy of the first show, too. And so you have your own copy of the first show.
All right.
Right, and if she wants to hear that, if she didn't, I mean, I'll call her and check on that.
But in the meantime, if anybody strikes out a connection to any copyright procedure that we can go through, that would minimize the outlay, even if we have to make an agreement to pay more if it expands. In other words, if it goes fully public, we'll be happy to pay it, you know. If it doesn't go that far, I still want it covered. In other words, I'll take it at the minimum price, but if we do more, we'll pay more.
Yeah.
That's the kind of agreement I will.
Yeah.
And I think they do make them sometimes, but it's only usually very, very clever, connected people who get those deals.
Yeah.
The rest of them pay out the $25,000.
Okay, so did Sharon talk to you after she called you back and talked to you about the show?
We just talked that one brief time.
Yeah, you haven't talked to her since. She only knows you were on, and that was that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to talk to her.
Maybe she definitely wants to hear the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll arrange that. Maybe by the time we get that done, you'll come over to the other place, to where I am, or we'll get together somewhere, meet somewhere or something.
When are you moving?
Monday. Yeah,
okay.
And Carolyn, did I tell you Carolyn's gone to New York? Oh, yeah, on Friday, Carolyn had to go to New York.
And was that because of the other effects?
Of what?
The
Hawaii? I don't know. That may be part of it.
And on top of it, of course, you've got suicide of, I almost said assassination.
Yeah.
The suicide of Clinton's friend.
Yeah, didn't I talk about that on the show today, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah, that came up on the show. Clinton's friend. So, so Carolyn is very involved.
The curious thing about Clinton's friend, I thought about it, but I didn't talk about it on the air. The guy who committed suicide and the other guy who's the head of the
and Clinton all went to kindergarten together.
Yeah, McClarty is the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All three of them went to kindergarten together, or the first few years of school together.
Right.
And Hillary was a law partner of the guy who committed suicide. So that there's 4 points. In other words, 3 points that date all the way back to childhood, and therefore even childhood traumas, memories, relationships, etc., all involved in this is going all the way up.
Yeah.
Lord knows what all happened in all that way. And of course, when Hillary came into Bill's life, then she came into such a strong relationship with his friends that she became a law partner of one of them.
Yeah.
So it's really, really an extraordinary thing. If somebody wanted to damage him, and if it was a murder, this would have been incredible to that key group that actually took him to the White House.
Right, and they did. The family did look devastated in the footage I saw of the funeral. Hillary and the dog.
Everybody was devastated.
You mean by everybody in the world or in
well,
their circle?
In that circle. I mean.
Yeah, because
the deep relationship they all knew.
Yeah.
In other words, everybody who worked with Clinton knew that this deep relationship was involved with them. And so it must have been an incredible shake-up.
Yeah, and that's after she met with and got the stuff from Carolyn Hawaii. I didn't think of that. That's a few days later.
Disruptor. And it also may, this is another reason why I didn't want to bring it up, it may correlate to what I said the other day to you. I said I felt that the energy of some extraordinary happening that would be like that
Challenger
thing. And
so you feel this might have been it?
Oh, I certainly do.
Yeah.
I don't know in what way, but I could feel that there was something. And this may be an echo of it.
Yeah. Because the rumors I heard is that the BCCI connections involved that law firm and that guy. They tried to put out, we don't know if it's true or not, a hint of a scandal around that guy in the law firm.
Well,
but that's the cover story, maybe.
But the BCCI was CIA.
Yeah.
And Bush was CIA. When Carter was in, that guy who was with him,
Burt Lance,
was involved in some stuff that...
Yeah, he was involved in the BCCI stuff.
Well, I thought he was, but even before it existed, he was involved in some stuff.
That's right. He was involved that led to the BCCI.
He left, huh?
The BCCI started with Burt Lance in the 70s. That's when at first he brought the Sheik over and all that stuff.
But that was
in
after, 70.
That was in, maybe after he resigned in 77.
Yeah, I think so. I think what they did is they made him resign over some kind of a banking thing.
Yeah.
So when he resigned, he went ahead and was able to do anything he wanted to, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, at the time they were very upset because Billy related to the Libyans.
Yeah.
And stuff. But
are you suggesting that Burt Lance was before the Burt was before the BCCI?
He resigned, I think, before.
Before he got involved with that, yeah.
But it was probably because in other words he was out of government and there was these things going on and he said, "Oh boy, look at this opportunity. Let's see what we can do with it or something like
yeah.
that." So he may have been heavily involved, but to see if the CIA was involved in that same time period in the thing, then it would have been cognizant all
time of who was what was where, and so they can just sit and wait, and when they're ready, spring it out to wipe out anybody they want,
yeah,
politically.
Yeah.
And it could have been that.
You mean going, they watched it from 77 all the way up to now?
Well, I mean, he just might have received an alert that that was going to happen.
Who's he?
The one who committed suicide.
Right, yeah.
There's another thing that, you remember...
yeah, you mean they're not just springing the original BCCI in 91 or whatever it was. You mean this part involving the Clinton suggestion is what they were ready to spring.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, I see.
And there may even be some relationship to Elders in her relationship to a bank down there.
Yeah.
Although I think that's cleared. But the thing I wanted to mention is you knew David Millett and Sybil,
yeah,
and Mary.
Yeah.
And the father. Well, you know that in during the time that we were... doing the research at the center in the 50s, the Millets had another daughter named Margaret.
Yeah, I know about her suicide.
All right.
Yeah.
But do you remember why she committed suicide?
You told me, but I don't recall it now.
Because these boys were watching these two girls in a soda joint, and they thought they were being...
Right, they teased her.
Well, what they did is they thought they were getting attention from the boys. And then when the one boy that was getting attention came over and said to her, without a doubt, you've got the biggest feet on any woman I ever saw. And she was tall.
Yeah.
She was fairly attractive. But the bigness of her feet in that situation caused her to go home and blow her brains out. So it's amazing... Nobody knew about that for a long time. The girl who was with her, who heard it, kept it to herself. The family didn't know what the hell happened.
Mm.
Finally, it came out when she got upset about something else, and she blurted out what had happened.
Yeah.
It really, in other words, here after, everybody trying to figure out why did she do it, and that really was incredible. So these things about not knowing what it is that triggered off somebody to do anything is really hard to tell. But it,
you mean you're relating this to the suicide of this guy, that
we don't know what happened. In other words, somebody, there could have been just some little
emotional vulnerability there.
Could have been some kind of a penis envy trip somewhere too, or something.
Yeah.
Anything like that can be involved. But and it could be something that would have been from childhood or teenage. It could have even been in-house between friends in which somebody made a cutting remark. And nobody's going to tell you that.
Yeah. But the CIA could have known that.
Well, that's the other end. In other words, it could have been something very petty, childish, and deep-seated between those four people.
Yeah.
But it would have had to be it wouldn't include Hillary, because she and her daughter were in Little Rock when that happened.
Yeah. And that's one end. The other end is just a personal thing could have triggered that off, and it's not related to anything.
It could also be something higher that would relate to the BCI, CIA, and something that might have been ready to...
Yeah.
Or there could have been some kind of a power play they were squeezing on him to threaten, to blackmail him, to threaten him.
Yeah, there's that.
In which case he took himself out of the picture.
And but
maybe his friends or something.
Yeah, and there's also a personal, emotional thing that could trigger it off, or we don't know.
In other words, it's full range of possibilities, but I didn't know that he had been involved in anything with the BCI.
Yeah. No, I heard of something about... Did you hear that, Jerry? I think it was on the
news.
No,
I haven't heard much of anything about
it. I mean, I didn't know this, and it was said, so somebody on the news told me this.
the suggestion of the BCI thing.
But I'm going to go, Dave. I just want to tell you, you know, if you did want to go on David Porter's show, you could tell your plight of looking for someone. Because this being an industry town, and they tune into KPFK, you know, you could tell, I'm looking for someone to handle the publishing deal on this. Or, you
no,
know,
I could. I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, you know, if you wanted to. I mean, the purpose of the interview would be whatever. If you wanted to go on David's show and he could talk to you about whatever you wanted to, that's fine.
Stuff like that about.
But you could also say
no, Jerry, he's asking. He didn't know that you could talk about that.
Yeah, I don't really.
You can sell products on that. You can sell products, right, Jerry?
Well, it's not so much you're selling a product yet. Your product isn't ready, and you need help. So you could go and say, I have this videotape, and I'm looking for someone, so if anyone is interested. I mean, that I'm not saying that would be the sole purpose of you going on David's show. I'm just saying you could say that.
I'd also say that I would probably put it on KPFK, the audio of it, if it were properly covered.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Okay, that's
and
good.
Who knows, maybe somebody at KPFK could help because of their relations. They must have relationships on copyright and things that they have to deal with in terms of particulars. They may get rights, and but they may have a blanket coverage or maybe some kind of thing, but maybe somebody would know.
That yeah, I think your bottom line is you have to get a lawyer to do all your work. You know, that's...
Ultimately.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it'll have to be that. But if you go to a lawyer first, he wants lots.
He wants lots. Yeah, you can do all the prelim.
And he, the second, they want lots because they figure you've got a big movie, you're in a deal, they're going to get big money from you.
Exactly.
They stop. You have to either go in on a very low frequency with somebody who's in good response and get that taken care of, or else what you have to do is take it from the top and beat it down, and that costs, so you wind up with huge costs. Either way,
yep.
You beat it down, it costs a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the real way would be to pay them for $25,000, go out and do it, you see,
yeah.
But... That is currently a laugh.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, Jerry's got to go, and I got to go, too.
I do, too.
So we'll talk to you soon. I don't know when next, maybe after I move. But anyways, Carol's in New York, and it's indefinite how long she's in New York, so I may be going to New York in a few weeks.
Uh-huh. Now, you don't know why she went particularly, or was it just called her at one?
Yeah, no, there's negotiations going on, but I don't know if it involves the Hillary thing. Yeah.
They're still in the States.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the thing about the States is being worked on right now. And so they wanted Carol there to, you know, beef up their...
Lots of light and energy around that. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah. And so I don't know how long I'll be in L.A.
All right.
But I'll call you next week, probably.
All right.
Okay, Dave.
All right.
Bye.
See how he does his analysis of the Clintons? Very good.
Oh,
Roy should have him on
well,
as a regular.
That's why I'm trying to
thing.
Get him on Dave.
Yeah, get him on Dave, and then that'll get him to Roy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Dave would be high at late at night. He could get on there at midnight, man, and talk this stuff and play our interview that I did with him. That'd be a whole new exposure to the new age of hidden things.
Look at there, Sharon. There's that number you want Nelson written down, and there's the fourth thing that you get at the rainbow.
Okay, here's the thing. It's sunny out now, right?
Yeah.
Are good guys open on Sunday?
Yeah.
They are. 24 hours, these guys would never close, right? So I'm thinking of maybe I might go to the beach. Think it's too not warm enough? What do you think?
Perfect. Go. I'm not going to go swimming,
no.
But I'll ride down there with you.
Go and then I can't leave anything here. You can't sit around. You got to go to the bench, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, Bob, you know, you could...
Anyways, you can't stay, so I have to do it on my own.
Yeah.
So I'll just see what I don't take. You can go and... tape everybody. Should take a little paperwork. Tape everybody ranting on about it. You want a pixel today? You want to take a pixel? Just in case you can.
Is that it?
Is that a lunchbox? Is that a fucking pixel?
Yeah, it's got batteries and all ready to go.
And because normally you would not have batteries, you mean you'd have to plug it in?
No, I don't usually do that.
leave the batteries in there.
What would you do with the batteries? You just take them out and put them in later?
Yeah.
It has. It runs on batteries?
It's still going. Yeah, it still runs on batteries.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. What was Garrett's last name?
Dean.
Garrett Dean.
D-E-A-N-E.
I never heard of him before.
Well, he's not really known.
I guess he's well known among certain types of individuals.
He's Bob's father.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Where are you calling from?
Canoga Park.
Yeah. And so anyways, what did you think of that part?
Well, I mean, I like what I was hearing, you know. There was a lot of, like he said himself, there's a lot of things that he didn't have to spell out. And I kind of got a drift of some of it, but maybe not all of it. But, I don't know, I kind of feel like I was eavesdropping on two souls, you know, who, like, I don't know, are rekindling some kind of relationship from who knows when. And, you know, just checking it out like that.
What, did you like that feeling, or did you feel you were invading?
Oh, no, I liked it.
Oh, you liked it.
I mean, I don't know too much about, you know, where he's coming from other than from what I've heard this morning, and I can't really figure it out, but it sounds pretty gentle to me, you know, and I'm all for that.
Good. Now, what did you think about the part with Bob?
Well, I tell you, there's so many ideas and concepts just running out of him. And I can't really grasp what he's really, you know, what he's really saying, you know what I mean? So I want to hear more, you know.
So do you like that you can't grasp it, or?
Well, it's like
does that frustrate you?
No, something's there, and, like, I can feel inside, like, yeah, intuitively, he's onto something. I can feel that, you know. But
what makes you feel that, or what? Maybe expand a little more on that.
Well, number one, it's the information. I mean, so much information comes from regarding, like, you know, behind the scenes, New World Order type stuff, you know, media manipulation. But then on the other side I would describe it as, like, some type of metaphysical something or other, you know?
So you sort of think he's, like, going into two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, he's approaching the same thing from both ends, you know? Kind of like within, without type, you know? Anyway, it just totally fascinates me to hear him talk, you know? And, yeah, so I just started calling to find out what... I mean, one thing, this is my question of the day.
Okay.
If what he says is true, then it would seem the people that he talks about, right, the Council of Ten, seems they would want to get rid of him. Wouldn't that be logical?
It seems to me that that could very well be. That seems logical.
So that puzzles me that there's that he actually says, you know, call this number that I'm calling now, and, like, you know, there's people there. You may be able to link up with me. You know what I mean? Although I understand that doesn't necessarily mean physical, but more like the ideas he's.
Right, I'm just going to give you some printed matter, but then if you put your phone number in there and ask him a question, you never know. He might call you up.
Really?
You know, it's worth it. It's worth a try. I say pursue what you want to find out.
Uh-huh.
And don't let things get in your way. So I encourage you to ask questions, and hopefully we're going to have him on David's show in a couple months, so I would encourage you as well to explore some of this info. Hold on a second. Yeah. I'm sorry. If you can check out some of the material I sent you and come up with questions, or just what you heard, ask them questions. I think that's good, because one thing is that Bob did radio for 4 years in Toronto, and the audience is as much a part of it as him. He really, I mean, and there were times when he didn't have an audience,
to interact. I mean callers as the audience, you know. But I think it's an essential part, and I know it's an essential part, in fact. So I think don't hesitate to call up and express if you're confused or express your doubt or express your whatever you have to express to him. I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just him you're expressing it to. I mean, it's like we're all talking about this together in like a round table discussion.
Right.
So it's not like you're just talking directly to him. You realize that you're reaching a lot of people when you're on the radio, so you don't have to feel shy about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should send you like a self-addressed stamped envelope?
Yeah, I send a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting, too, that did you hear the call from Tom Touche?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that was rather interesting, too, because that's partly, you know, gives you aspects to your question about what they think of him.
Uh-huh. You know. They being?
Well, this is Secret Council of Ten, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when the heat came on, I just like, oh, this is either, you know, the most like outstanding theater, you know, radio theater I've ever heard, or yeah, it's up in front, it's up front, you know, it's actually real, you know, what's going on here.
Well, what do you think it was?
Well, I know
both, neither, or
well, I sense from my personal experience that the truth is more far out than the human mind can conceive it is. You know what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. So I don't know. It's like I got the sense that maybe like there's a whole other